go.
In honor of Rosh Hashanah, we had a list of requests to topics in general, and one of the requests on the list was a Rosh Hashanah topic, specifically the mitzvah of shofar. So we thought we'd talk a little bit about that obligation in honor of the upcoming occasion. So the mitzvah of shofar is harder to pin down than it sounds, because it's unclear as to what exactly the mitzvah of shofar is. And the Rosh in Maseches Rosh Hashanah quotes a debate on this point, not explicitly on this point, but he tells us it's about this point. There is a machlokus between Rabbeinu Tam and the Bahag, let's say, as to what the bracha should be on the mitzvah of shofar. Without getting into issues whether the bracha should be al mitzvahs or le, which is based on other issues, but just as far as what is the verb that's under discussion, that itself is a machlokus, whether we should talk about the shmias shofar, the listening to the shofar, or whether we should focus on the blowing of the shofar, tkias shofar. And the Rosh suggests that the explanation of this issue is the question of what is the mitzvah of the shofar. Is it that the Torah is interested in us blowing the shofar? And presumably there is some type of shlichas, kain, shemei, ka'ome kind of thing going on. Or is it that the mitzvah really is shmiah? And that second possibility, that shmiah is really the mitzvah, is the view of a lot of big Rishonim, including the Rambam. The Rambam is clear from his tshuvas and from his formulation of the mitzvah in Mishneh Torah, clearly emphasizes shmias ha-shofar as the mitzvah. And therefore, that prompts the question, which I'd like to look at a little bit tonight, that if one does take this view, that shmiah is the real mitzvah of shofar, so what role does that leave for tkiah? Tkiah is clearly a priority, so what role does that leave for that to take? So yeah, first possibility is you can take the view of the other Rishon, take the view of Rabbeinu Tam and those who would share his perspective, and say that the mitzvah is tkiah. So if that's the question, if that's the view you take, okay, that's the answer. That'll be our first approach, that is the mitzvah. But assuming that you don't take that view, and you take the view that shmiah is the mitzvah, so what approaches can we say? So then starting with the second then approach, shmiah is the mitzvah, but tkiah has to have some other explanation. So a popular view has to do with a very central question that the Achronim all discuss. If you maintain that shmiah is the mitzvah, so why should it be that there are any regulations as to who can blow shofar? And we know that it's very much the case. The Cheir Shotu Katan is not qualified to blow a shofar in Rosh Hashanah, nor is an Isha, because shofar is considered to be a mitzvah sasesha as man grama. And why should that be? If the mitzvah is just to hear the shofar, so let me hear the shofar from whoever is going to blow it. Shouldn't be any requirement of being a bar chiyuva. I used to have a program on my phone, on my Palm Pilot, which I don't have anymore, called Shofar Simulator, and it pushed the button, it made a tkiah, made a trua, made a shvarim. So let's say you can set that up on a timer to work on yantiv. Why shouldn't that work? You know, if the whole mitzvah is a mitzvah of shmiah, so who cares who's blowing the shofar? It shouldn't matter, we shouldn't have these requirements. So the Shagas Aryeh discusses this, as do other achronim, and puts forward what's a pretty accepted mahalach on this issue, that even though the mitzvah is shmiah, the question is, what is it that you have to hear? And the answer is, you have to hear a kol shel chiyuv. You have to hear a sound that is generated by somebody who's mechuyuv, a kol shel mitzvah, if you want to put it that way. And only somebody who's obligated in the mitzvah can generate such a sound. And therefore, even though we'll say that the mitzvah is shmiah, still, we have to identify what it is that has to be heard, and the answer to that is this kol shel chiyuv that requires the bar chiyuva. Shlomo Zalman Shmayin, his svar meyunim ba'alacha, has a little bit of a hesber of this idea, which you could agree with or not agree with, and he wants to say the following. Again, you can question whether you subscribe to this. This is that essentially, we know that there is a din by sukkah, so Yotze talking about sukkah here also a couple times tonight, that there is a din sukkah's ganbach sheir. You have a sukkah that was built by anybody, was still built by a non-Jew, was built by somebody who was not at all obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah, so that's still kosher. We have no requirement as to who it is who is qualified to build the sukkah. And yet, my shofar, we find there is a requirement as to who it is that can provide the sound. So he explains that when it comes to a sukkah could have come into existence in any manner of way, but at the end of the day, so right now you have a standing sukkah. And the fact that you have a sukkah to sit in is a result of the fact that the sukkah is still standing. So right now it's standing on its own. Right now nobody's making the sukkah stand. Somebody put it there to begin with, but right now the sukkah stands on its own. While kol, this ephemeral sound, only exists because somebody is constantly generating it. And when somebody stops generating it, then it stops sounding. So therefore the sound is always connected to the person who's making it, who has to be a bar chiyuva. While a sukkah has its own independent existence, doesn't have to be made by anybody who is necessarily mechuyav. Once it's there and it stands there by itself. And if you don't knock it down, it'll still be there. Okay, again, you can buy into that hesber or not, but that's the way he suggests the distinction should be understood. So this idea seems to be very relevant to understanding really a contrast between a mitzvah like shofar and a mitzvah like megillah. And it's interesting to note, there is a din that you have a concept of a chatzi, you have a chatzi ben charin, who doesn't really exist. The Gemara says they don't really exist. That such a scenario, so you make sure it gets taken care of, because it's not a viable lifestyle to be a chatzi, you have a chatzi ben charin. So it really only exists like for the minchas chinuch. It only exists to have nafkaminas. So, nafkamina for chatzi, you have a chatzi ben charin. So this is one of the cases. You have a chatzi, you have a chatzi ben charin. So the halacha is, the way it's brought in the Torah, is that he can't blow shofar for the shul. That we understand, right? Because people in the shul, there are a lot of free men in the shul, so they're fully chayiv. So he can't be motzi then. But the interesting thing is, he can't be motzi himself either. And you find by Megillah, the Torah doesn't say that. By Megillah, the Torah says he can't read for anybody else, but doesn't say that he can't read Megillah for himself. And the Beis Yosef says, why is it different? So the Beis Yosef says, because really it's not different, just he said it already by shofar, he didn't feel he needs to explain it in more detail by Megillah. But Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva in which he explains that no, there is a big difference between Megillah and shofar. And indeed, when it comes to Megillah, he can't read for the shul, but he can read for himself. And when it comes to shofar, he can't even read for himself. So what's that based on? Because when it comes to Megillah, the mitzvah is kriya. So really, you have to read the Megillah. Now, you can have somebody else read for you, it's called Shemaya Ka'ona, but essentially the mitzvah is kriya. So if you're going to have somebody else read on your behalf, he has to be at least as chayiv as you are. But you are at least as chayiv as you are by definition. So certainly you can always read for yourself, whatever level you are, any point between 1 and 100, wherever you fall on the equation, you should be able to read for yourself because you are as chayiv as you are. Now whether that works for anybody else, fine, that's a separate question. But when it comes to shofar, that's not even true. Because if you have a chatzi, you have a chatzi ben charin, the mitzvah of shofar is not the blowing. If it was, it would be the same din as Megillah. That whatever level you're chayiv on, so if you blow yourself, you're yotzeh. But the mitzvah isn't the tkiyah, according to this majority of you and Rishonim. The mitzvah is shmiyah. So if that's the case, so here you have a chatzi, you have a chatzi ben charin. So the part of him that is chayiv, behef ben charin, has to hear shofar. And that means he has to hear a kol shel chiyuv. So that means the call has to be generated by somebody who's chayiv. He himself is not fully chayiv. Half of him is an eved. So he is not qualified to generate the call that the chayiv half of him needs to hear. So that's a problem. It's a unique kind of problem. That since he has to hear the shofar, he is not the kind of person who can make the sound that he has to hear. Well, I wish it was going to be different from the din by Megillah. Does everyone follow that? It's a little complicated. So Rabbi Ganak, basically when it comes to Megillah, so the mitzvah is reading it. So if he's reading it, fine. So it doesn't matter what level he is. Maybe he can't promote to anybody else, but he's yotzei his own mitzvah. But when it comes to shofar, you can't say that because the mitzvah is to hear it. So, but there's a qualification as to what he has to hear. He has to hear a real sound. He can't make a real sound because half of him is pater. So he cannot provide. It's basically, if you say the mitzvah is cooking, the mitzvah is eating. So if it's cooking, so whatever you cook, you cook. If the mitzvah is eating and you need to eat good food, so if you can't cook good food, you need somebody else to cook it for you. So he can't make a good sound, so he needs somebody else to create it. So that's as far as that's concerned. But Ganak has in the Sefer, Gan Shoshanim, that he thinks the hashkafic hesber of this whole idea, the idea that the mitzvah is davka shmiya, is based on the famous comment of the Rambam that by this far in Elul you've for sure heard, if you haven't heard it many times in the past years. Now the Rambam says, in the context of shofar, that even though shofar is exerts on melech, even though it's a din in the Torah, afal pi kein remez yesh bo, even so it has a philosophy behind it, it has a message to it, and that message is Uri Yishayim Mishanoschem, it's an alarm clock, you should wake up. So if the whole notion is you're supposed to wake up, so then by definition that has to come at you from the outside, that can't happen automatically, that has to be something that has to come externally and wake you up. So that requires this din of shmiya rather than tekiya. It's something that has to be happening to you rather than something that you're doing. Okay, so that's essentially mahalach 2. So again, mahalach number 1 is that really tekiya is the mitzvah. Mahalach number 2 is that shmiya is the mitzvah and tekiya is what you need in order to have that which you need to hear. Mahalach number 3, Shechter Shlita presents in his Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, quoting from the Soloveitchik, that really redefines it on the level of Rishona. This is that one of the rayas the Rush brings, that there is a mitzvah of Shmiya, the very, very significant Mishnah which affects the whole discussion of microphones, which is an interesting discussion in of itself, that the Mishnah says that if somebody is blowing a shofar in a bor, he's in a pit, which has an echo, so if he hears the sound of the shofar, so then he's Yotzei, but if he hears the sound of the echo, which sounds like he means it's an identical sound, but it's not coming from the shofar, it's coming from the echo, so that's where the Palm Pilot shofar creates a problem, so then he's not Yotzei. So you see from there the mitzvah is Shmiya, that's what the Rush emphasizes, and as Rav Shechter notes, but clearly, so what does that mean? It means, like we just said a minute ago, that even the person blowing is Yotzei through his hearing. Because if you blow your own shofar in the pit, but you only hear the echo, so it's clear from the Mishnah you're not Yotzei. So even the person blowing is only Yotzei because of what he hears. So what do you have? You have really two halves of a structure. So the mitzvah is going to be in the Shmiya. That's the fulfillment of the mitzvah. But clearly you need to have the shofar blown in order to have that Shmiya. So that blowing of the shofar, he says, that's the Maisa HaMitzvah. That is the action of the mitzvah. So essentially you have two halves. You have the action, that's the tekiah, and you have the kiyum that comes from listening. So here he wants to suggest, basically redefining the issue on the level of Rishonim, that maybe there isn't a machlokus between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Bahag as to what the mitzvah of shofar is. The machlokus about the bracha, maybe they agree with each other that there's this basic structure, Maisa Tekiya and Kiyum through Shmiya. And maybe the only question is, what do you make a bracha on? Do you make a bracha on a Maisa Mitzvah? Or do you make a bracha on a Kiyum HaMitzvah? Like, for example, we find by Sefiras HaOmer, we know that there's a famous debate in the Achronim by Sefiras HaOmer, whether it's one mitzvah or 49 mitzvahs. But we all know, there's no debate about this, that you recite ideally 49 brachas on Sefiras HaOmer. So how could it be that there's an opinion that it's one mitzvah when we know we make 49 brachas? So the answer seems to be that it's not necessarily the case, that it's one bracha per mitzvah. That maybe a bracha goes to a Maisa HaMitzvah rather than a Kiyum HaMitzvah. So even if you have one big mitzvah but it has 49 actions, maybe each action gets its own bracha. So we're not sure how we assign brachos, so maybe that's the machlokas. Is the bracha going to a Maisa HaMitzvah or does it go to a Kiyum HaMitzvah? So based on this structure, so Rav Shechter, again quoting from the Rav, wants to suggest a number of nafka minas. So one of them is the question of mitzvah habavi aveira. The Rambam writes, and this is again a number of sources here that have possible nafka minas for other fascinating areas of Jewish law. So this may have ramifications for Napster, so the question of stealing audio files. Things like that. The Rambam writes that even though we have a din of mitzvah babi aveira, so I'll see how many references to sukkahs we can get in this discussion. So if you steal a lulav, so we know Mishnah says lulav gadol is possible, mitzvah babi aveira. So what if I steal a shofar? So the Rambam says if you steal a shofar, not that he's recommending that, but if you steal a shofar, so that's not a problem of mitzvah babi aveira, because the chepsa shal mitzvah, because he believes the mitzvah is shmiya. So what is the kli of the mitzvah? Is the sound that comes out of the shofar, not the shofar itself. So you can't steal sound. That's what he says. Ein b'kol din gazel. So since you can't steal sound, so it's not eligible for mitzvah babi aver. And Hagos Ashri disagrees. So the stolen sukkah, stolen shofar does cause a problem. So as the Shechter explains, this machlokas may be dependent on another issue in mitzvah babi aver. Menachas Chinuch has a famous comment about this, which Chaim presented in a brisker way, that basically, to try to say it quickly, is this following point. Again, to the Yotzei Sukkah, we're talking about this point. The Gemara says in Sukkah and Daftaz, if you have a stolen Sukkah, so that's no good. So Tosfos and other Rishonim raise the question, why is it that the Gemara uses a Pasuk to make that point? We know a stolen Sukkah is no good. Mitzvah Babi Aver. Why wouldn't the Pasuk to tell me that a stolen Sukkah is a problem? So the way the Menachas Chinuch explains, again filtered through a brisker terminology, is essentially like this. Let's say I were to eat in a Sukkah, I'll fulfill a mitzvah. Let's say I eat outside of a Sukkah, I eat in my living room on Sukkahs, maybe my dining room, or in a park. So I'm considered to be in violation of a betel aseh, I'm negating my obligation to eat in a Sukkah. So what happens if I eat in a stolen sukkah? So if it's only the din of mitzvah habavi avera, what does that mean? The mitzvah habavi avera means that I cannot score points off an avera. I can't steal something and expect to impress God with that too much. So I can't have a mitzvah credit through the avera. So if I sat in a stolen sukkah, the din of mitzvah habavi avera would mean I get no points for that. There's nothing going in a win column for this action. But is it like I sat in my living room? Like I was mevatel the aseh? No, because essentially I'm eating in a sukkah. It's not going to do anything too great for me, but I'm not in a bitul aseh because I'm not eating outside the sukkah. That was what mitzvah habavi avera would have done. So the Gemara comes and brings a pasuk and says, no, a sukkah gzula is psul. It's nothing. It's like eating in your living room. It's not a sukkah at all. So based on that, what do you see? So how did mitzvah habavi avera work? It works based on negating a kiyum ha-mitzvah. You can't get mitzvah points for mitzvah babi aver. A maisa mitzvah remains as whatever it is, but the kiyum ha-mitzvah can't come. So that's pshat on the Rambam's view about stealing a shofar. The shofar itself represents tekiah. Tekiah is a maisa ha-mitzvah. Mitzvah babi aver can't do anything to that. It's only a question of the kiyum ha-mitzvah. So the kiyum ha-mitzvah comes through the sound. And the sound, therefore, is the candidate for mitzvah babi aver. And says the Rambam, it can't be a candidate because it's intangible. You can't steal sound. So that's where it would have been shayach to talk about mitzvah babi aver, but it's not because l'maisa you can't steal the sound. Rav Shachter goes on to list there, and there are others who quote from the Rav differently, who add on a couple of other nafkaminas to this question. Which basically the issue of, do you see the shofar as a chetzer shal mitzvah or not? Is it that the shofar is significant or is it the sound is significant? So some other possible points that are relevant to this, he talks about also the question, is there a din that you have to touch the shofar? Is the shofar a chetzer shal mitzvah has to be in direct contact? So the Rambam says the feirish is not necessary. He says if you're to hold the shofar away from your lips and be able to blow through the shofar without touching it with your mouth, that would still be the same. You'd still be able to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar that way, so it's explicit. And others may disagree. The Ramban, Nachman, the Ramban says, and the Mishnah says, that if you have a shofar that's covered in gold, that's a problem. So Ramban says, because it's a din in chatzitza, the hefsek between your mouth and the shofar. So who says you have to touch the shofar? So it seems to be the same issue of whether the shofar is the mitzvah chetza or not. Similarly, it's also the question of whether a shofar should be asur bahana in the category of something that's miyuchad for a mitzvah. So the Rav thought that it shouldn't be, because again, it's not the chetzer shal mitzvah, even though the Magen Avraham felt that it was. And he said the Magen Avraham thought it was the pella, but why should the shofar be asur bahana? L'maisa, it's not the item of the mitzvah itself. Hi.
Well, why are, I think
Shabbat
talks about shofars that are used by Avodah Zarah.
Mm-hmm.
So why would that be a problem?
because you still need the shofar. There definitely are psulim of the shofar, and that way, if we have from all the Mishnayos in Rosh Hashanah, but that seems to have to do with the question of getting to the tekiah. So we know we need the tekiah from somewhere, and we have avadazara. Avadazara is a general problem of benefiting at all, so it's a very wide-ranging disqualification, and therefore it's going to play a role in whether you're able to get to a tekiah shofar through the shofar.
The mitzvah is hana?
No, the mitzvah itself is not hana, which all the more so might explain why that's not going to help. So that itself is really addressed on a different plane. Okay, so the Avni Nezer also has a truth about this. The Avni Nezer has a similar explanation, but he's not a brisker, he's a sachachavar, so he's using a sachachavar approach to get to a very similar type of view. And he basically says like this, and again, you take away the language and the angle, it's not that different a point. And he says as follows. He says that really the mitzvah is shmiah. That's what we're interested in. Right? Again, go back to the Rambam, where you're shenim v'sheinoschem, the whole thing. Shmiah shofar is what we're interested in. But tekiah is necessary for the following reason. To give an example, we have a din of ksiva sefer Torah. The last mitzvah of the Torah, according to the Chinuch, is the mitzvah that you have to write a sefer Torah. So it's understood that you have to write a sefer Torah because really we want you to have a sefer Torah. We want you to possess the sefer Torah. So therefore you are supposed to create one in order to have it. And the din is that if you buy one, so you're also in fulfillment. So you can purchase it. There's another way to have one. But if you inherit it, so you're not Yosef. So that's hard to understand, as in the Chesrinach and others know. Because as far as Mominus is concerned, as far as property, so there's no difference between the result of purchase and the result of inheritance. Both ways, I end up with a Sefer Torah. So if the mitzvah is to have a Sefer Torah, so who cares whether I buy it or whether I inherit it? So they explain that the idea is that even though the mitzvah really is to have the Sefer Torah, still we have a general principle here apparently. But a mitzvah cannot happen to you passively. You can't just happen to fall into a mitzvah. So you have to do something. So if you buy a Sefer, ideally you're going to write the Sefer Torah yourself. If you're not going to do that, so if you buy a Sefer Torah, that's also called doing something. But to inherit, that's completely passive. Which is not to suggest that you should do something to actively inherit, because that's a real mitzvah above your head. But the general format, so inheriting is passive. So even though the goal of the mitzvah is the same, but still there has to be something done to get to it. So too, when it comes to shofar, the goal is hearing it. That's what it's all about. But you can't just have this mitzvah happen to you. I'm in the shul, and it just happens to run through the airwaves, and I'm hearing the sounds of shofar. So there has to be an action. That action is the tekiah, and that tekiah can be done through shlichus, through one person being appointed to do it. So based on that, he adds an interesting vort. He adds that there is a minig that when the bracha is recited on the shofar, so the Baal Tekiah covers up the shofar with his talus. So why do you have such a minig? So says the Avni Nezer, because it's similar to the covering of the challahs Friday night. So Friday night, according to one of the reasons that you have in the Talmud Yerushalmi, why do you cover up the challahs? Because you have a choice. You can make kiddush on the challah, or you can make kiddush on the wine. So we normally choose the wine over the challah. And as we know, we don't want to embarrass the challahs. We don't want the challah to feel bad. So therefore, we cover up the challah and shouldn't see what's going on. The same idea is applicable here also. I have a choice. I have a mitzvah of shmiah, which represents the sound, and I have a mitzvah of tekiah, which is the maisa ha-mitzvah here, which represents the shofar. So really I can make a bracha on either. But we prefer the bracha of shmiah because we really think that's what the mitzvah is all about. So that's what we choose for the bracha. But essentially you're passing over the shofar to make the bracha on the sound. So therefore, just as we cover up the challahs, we cover up the shofar, so they shouldn't see what's going on. And this is the machlokas among the great Chassidish Poskim, because the Sachachav Rabbi Avnezer was one of the great Chassidish Poskim. Another great Chassidish Poskim is Mekach Rabbi, Shuvas Mincha Salazar, So he took great issue with this truly Abinazer. He thought it was completely off base. And he says that if that's really the reason, then he shouldn't just cover up the shofar, he should cover up the Baal Tekeah as well. And the other reasons based on the Akeda, why it is that we cover up the shofar and the Abinazer, he thought was totally wrong about this. Okay. But whether he's right or wrong, so that's essentially our fourth mahalach. So we have now four mahalachim. That is the mitzvah is tkiyah. That the mitzvah is shmiya, but you need to call shalachiv. That it's a maisa chepsa kind of thing, a maisa akiyum kind of thing, and the similar but different sachachav approach. That it's really a shmiya, but you need something to hold on to. A more prosaic way of saying it is maybe like the way the Ksav Sofer writes and the Yom Teruah writes in the Sefer. That maybe it's just that there's two mitzvahs, two halves, a mitzvah of Shmiya and a mitzvah of Tekiyah. Maybe that's the whole story. Just as a parenthetic interlude, the Rambam has a shita. We know there's a whole sugya of mitzvah Shrichas Kavana, which maybe we'll talk about if you want to put it on the list someday. So that's a major, major issue, which is still somewhat unresolved. And the Gemara leaves open this question, can one fulfill a mitzvah if they don't intend to? So two of the examples you find in the Gemara, let's say somebody eats matzah Pesach night, not because of the mitzvah, but because somebody forces him to. Or he blows shofar, not because of mitzvah, because it's a keil lishir. He wants to hear what it sounds like. It sounds like a good musical instrument. It just happens to hit upon this unit, to be a shvar, to be the proper applause. So this question is raised in both contexts, and it's a little bit of an open issue still. We pass a mitzvah Sviches Kavana, mitzvah Zain Sviches Kavana. It seems like the Shulchan Aruch takes a stance, not so clear what Shulchan Aruch means. It's a little bit of an open question. So the Rambam says when it comes to matzah, you don't have to have Kavana. And when it comes to shofar, you do. Both the Tokei and the Shomea, the one blowing and the one listening, both have to have Kavana. So what's the difference between that and matzah? So Rav Ruderman had his article that was printed in the Sefer in honor of the Rav and the Kavod of the Rav, and he wrote this also in his Sefer on Mitzvahs called Lassi's Levi, where he explains that really mitzvahs don't need kavanah. When it comes to shofars, you need to create the relationship between the tekeya and the shomea, and it's just sound. So in order for that to be considered a mitzvah connection between the two, so you need kavanah to create that link, and that's a special din in this process of shofar. Okay, so just to mention one more mahalach. There is a chiddush that Tziv has in a different context. It gives us another excuse to talk about sukkah. So in the context of sukkah, so the Tziv in his commentary to the Shilta says the Yisod that we might think there's two types of actions here. There's a mitzvah. Somebody performs a mitzvah. And then there is a heksha mitzvah, which is something which isn't a mitzvah, but it's a necessary step, or maybe even not a necessary step, but a step to get to a mitzvah. That's something we do to prepare the way. That's called a heksha mitzvah, which we understand is not a mitzvah. However, says the Nitziv, sometimes it kind of is. Sometimes there's a quasi mitzvah that's really in between. And he says if you have a mitzvah, so if you have an action that's a heksha mitzvah, but it's mentioned in the Torah, that bumps it up. Called the Heksha Mitzvah Ksuva V'Kara. It's mentioned in Chumash. So we treat that as more of a mitzvah itself, more like kind of a quasi mitzvah. So one could argue that the Nitziv talks about this in the context of Sukkah, right? Sukkah, Menastam, we assume, it's a little bit of a discussion, but we assume that building a Sukkah is not per se a mitzvah. Sitting in the sukkah is a mitzvah. Building the sukkah is not a mitzvah. Like we said before, it can be done by anyone. It doesn't have to be obligated in the mitzvah sukkah. When it comes to that, though, one could suggest that, yes, it's a heksha mitzvah, says in Tziv, but it's a heksha mitzvah, ksuva b'kra. It's on a higher level because it's actually mentioned in Tanakh, in Chumash. So that category would seem to fit very well for Tekiyah Shofar. Tekiyah Shofar maybe is not the mitzvah, maybe Shavuot is the mitzvah. but clearly it's necessary to have a tekiah. And a tekiah would then be a hashem mitzvah, which is coming to us from the Torah itself. So maybe that's the status, so a quasi mitzvah, a hashem mitzvah k'shuv b'kara, and that has nafkaminas. As the Nisiv points out, nafkaminas for a bracha. Yerushalmi has a discussion of making a bracha and constructing a sukkah. And also for things like mitzvah bo yosem shlucha, the idea that it's better if you do it yourself. Do we apply that to a hechsher mitzvah also? So maybe it's obsessed. If yes, it's one mention in the Torah. But not if it's just out there. Okay, so that's could be a sixth mahalach in understanding what the role of tekiah is. So just a quick advisor, and then I'm going to run out of here. So we've looked at what the mitzvah of shofar is. On the one hand, you could say it's tekiah. But on the other hand, a lot of Rishonim didn't agree with that and felt that the bracha that's recited on shofar should be shmiya shofar. And then Rush explains it's all about what the mitzvah is, and they understand the mitzvah of shmiya, like the Rambam says in his Chuvas and his formulation safe in Mishneh Torah. So then that prompts us with a question. So what is tekiah's role? So you mentioned the Shagasayah's approach that a lot of us have. But the idea is that, yes, the mitzvah is shmiya, but it's not anything. You have to hear a kol shel chiyuv. And a kol shel chiyuv can only be generated by somebody who is mechuyuv, which is why we have that requirement. And that could also explain that when it comes to Megillus, the Torah says, a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin, or nafkamina man, as we could call him, a nafkamina man can only blow for himself, but he can't blow for the shul. It doesn't say he can't blow for himself. While by shofar it says he can't blow even for himself. And the Beis Yosef says it's the same din, just he doesn't spell it out by Megillah. And Rashi Beis Yosef Frank said, no, it's not the same din. Now when it comes to Megillah, so the mitzvah is reading, so you can read for yourself even if you're not mechuyav to read for anybody else. But when it comes to shofar, so the mitzvah is hearing, so even if you are as chayav as you are, you still have to hear somebody who's actually mechuyav in order to create it, and therefore the nafkamina man is going to have a problem. And we mentioned by Ganach's vort that the whole idea of the mitzvah of Shmiya is because if you take the Rambam's idea that it's an alarm clock, then it makes sense that the mitzvah should be to have something come at you rather than for you to do it yourself. Which, as Rashi notes, is the implication of the Gemara that the Rush brings as a raya, that if somebody blows shofar in a pit, if he hears the sound of the pit, if he hears the echo, so then he's not Yotze, which clearly illustrates the fact that you have even the Tokei himself may not be Yotze if he's not hearing his own sound. And therefore, Schechter built onto this explanation of a Maisa Kiyum structure and says maybe the Machlokas, maybe Rishonim, is not what the mitzvah is. Maybe they all agree the structure exists. And the question is simply what you make a bracha on, a Maisa or Kiyum. And that could have enough community for mitzvah babi averis. Machlokas around them and Nagas Sashri. The Rambam says, you're not Yotze for stealing shofar, Gas Sashri. And you are Yotze because the shofar sound cannot be stolen, called Ein B'Kol Din Gazel. And the Gas Sashri change argues. And we explained that could be affected by the whole question how mitzvah babi averis works. We see from the Mechas Chinas Kamat by Sukkah that it could be mitzvah babi averis only attacks a Kiyum mitzvah. And when it comes to shofar, that sound, so it's intangible, so it's not a problem. And we mentioned other nafkaminas, you have to touch the shofar itself. Ram says no, Ramban sounds like yes, because that's why gold plated is a problem. That also all goes to this question, is the shofar the chafashal mitzvah, isn't it? And the question is, if it comes to Bahana, the Rav thought it should not become Asa Bahana, and the Magen Avraham felt that it should be. And then we discussed the next mahalach, the fourth mahalach, that of the Avnei Nezer, that really the mitzvah is Shmiya, that's what it's all about, but you can't have mitzvah that happen passively, that's why you can't inherit a Sefer Torah, so therefore you need a Maisa, that Maisa is the Tekiah, and that apparently can be done for Shlichus, and he has his whole explanation based on that, that's why he covered the Shofar Mikra Bracha, and the Mechatz Rebbe thought that was a horrible idea. And then we discussed the fifth Mahalach, the straightforward one, that it's just both, except Sofer, and others, that there's just two halves of the mitzvah, and we had an interlude just to explain the Rambam's view, that even though Mitzvah Shechas Kavana seems to be an open issue for him. Nonetheless, he says that when it comes to shofar, you have to have the Kavana on the part of two people, and the one blowing and the one listening. And apparently, like Rudim explains, because you have to create the connection between the two, and that can only be done through Kavana. Then I mentioned one last possible application, the whole question of Hechsh Mitzvah Suva Bakra, this category that the Nesiv kind of introduced us to. And that gives something a status of a quasi-mitzvah, so the question is maybe that's an appropriate role for Tkiyas shofar, it's not the mitzvah itself, it's really a hechsher mitzvah, but it's one that's mentioned in the Torah, so maybe that gives it a quasi mitzvah status, and maybe that's the best category to use for shofar, and could have nafkamina such as bracha and mitzvah b'yashim v'shluvah. Okay, so next Wednesday night is mostly Rosh Hashanah, so it's coming out on then. And the week after that is Yom Kippur night. Not that we don't recommend learning all night Yom Kippur night, but I have a feeling it's not going to go. So then we have Yontif, so we're off for a little while. We're off until after, what day do we start school again? What day of the week is that? Sunday. Okay, so that week we'll be back on. But next few weeks, this calendar is not cooperating. So you should have a wonderful Ksiva Chesima Tov. It should be your bracha and mazel and all hatzlacha and any good things. And ask a mechila for any terrible things that said anybody in this context. And it should be a year of bracha, only good Yom Tovim. And Baz Hashem, we will reconvene afterwards. Okay. On top of that, thank you. Thank you.